Hoş geldiniz. It's really super. We've got a number of visitors today as well. So we're going to take a few moments just to welcome one another. Now, you can either do it where you're sitting down and reach across and shake the hand of the person next to you. Or if you're bold, you can get up and walk around. We've only got 2 minutes to say, Happy Easter, welcome. Go. Oh, good morning, and a very happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter there.
Good morning, and very happy Easter to you. It's lovely to see you here today. And to you, very happy Easter to you. Now, some of you will know that I arranged for there to be a competition today. And if you want to take part in the competition, you're going to need a piece of paper, and I have some paper. I'll put them on the table, and you can help yourself. You'll need a writing implement. So if you haven't brought one with you, just pester everybody else, okay, to borrow a pen. Now, the idea is you're going to write down the headlines for a newspaper, so the caption headlines about Jesus Christ rising from the dead. But you've got to be creative and imaginative in order to do it really well, okay? How would you write the opening headlines in the newspaper on Easter, on the first Easter day? So let's get some paper. I'm sorry I haven't brought pens. Pens might appear, but I'm not too worried. Jenny's already on her way to get some pens, I think. But there's paper here, and you can help. Now, a competition's no good. Competition is no good if nobody enters into it, okay? So we want you to enter into it, okay? I would prefer it if you left your thinking until a few moments at the end of the service, perhaps, rather than not be listening to everything as we're going along. Is that all right? So we'd like you to stay. What's the other thing we need with the competition? Oh, prize, yes, prize. Right, we have a prize. Okay. Right, okay. Now, as you have already sensed, today's service is going to be a little bit different from normal, right? Is there a normal here? I'm not sure that there is. But today is certainly not going to be normal. And so we've not got a Bible reading, but we do have five rather special guests who were all involved in the resurrection of Jesus. So they're going to be giving their testimonies before a court this morning, and hopefully, as that unfolds, we'll pick up what the Bible passage says. So everything is actually based on the Bible accounts of the resurrection of Jesus. I have taken a little bit of liberty with one of the stories, but it's only a little bit of liberty, okay? So let's just have a word of prayer together before we go any further. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we come together here this morning in this place, friends meet friends, friends find new friends. We pray that we might find that love and warmth that filled the hearts of the disciples of Jesus when they discovered the amazing truth that death could not hold him. So we thank you for what we're remembering today and ask your blessing on our time together in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now we're going to greet one another with a traditional Easter greeting, so I'm going to invite you to stand, please. And I say the bit in yellow and you respond with a bit in white. Okay, we'll see how well that comes, ready? So, Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
No, that won't do. In the church I grew up in, I had a very lively Scottish minister, but it was a very, very formal church, a Baptist church. It was very, very formal down on the south coast. And this was very, probably late 40s, early 50s. And the minister came out of the vestry door, ran up the steps to the pulpit, used to use the big pulpit in those days, and he did his bit, and the congregation replied, He's risen indeed, hallelujah. Which is not the way to say it. So he said, you're supposed to really say it with lots of enthusiasm. I'll go back and do it again. So he went back into the vestry and he came out, ran up the stairs again, said, Christ is risen, hallelujah. And they said,
He is risen indeed, hallelujah.
That was so much better, thank you. Right, we're going to sing a hymn, an Easter hymn, Christ the Lord is risen today. All our hymns are being played through the speakers as we don't have a musician with us today. But you'll find some of the verses might be mixed up if you're using the book and looking for number 76, but otherwise follow the screen, please. Please sit down. That will have blown the cobwebs away anyway, won't it? So that was great. That's really great. Well, what we are remembering today on Easter Sunday is the most amazing experience in history. People have been raised from the dead. There was something on the news just fairly recently about someone who had apparently died and was resuscitated and came back to life. So in some senses, in today's world, maybe it's not quite so strange, and yet it is, because this man walked out of his own grave. He was taken into a grave, broken, bleeding, wounded. He was very, very heavily beaten. If you ever saw the film, The Passion of the Christ, and saw how he was whipped, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, there's a verse that says that they made my back like a ploughed field. Isn't that awful? Just imagine being whipped like that. And then he was crucified. For 6 hours, he hung on the cross. And during that time, he spoke several times. It would have been very difficult to speak. In order to get enough breath to say anything, he would have to pull down on the nails that were through his hands and push up through the nail that was in his feet. So the breathing would have been really horrendous. And yet he said wonderful things. He gave his mother, who was there with his auntie and other ladies, He gave his mother into the care of one of his disciples called John and asked John to look after her. He turned to the two that were beside him. They were thieves, but more than thieves, possibly murderers. And one of them was mocking Jesus and the other one told him off, really, and said, you need to realize who you're speaking to. And then he prayed. In a sense, he asked something of Jesus. Remember me, he said, when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. So words of love, but none more wonderful than the words he spoke to the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, who were officiating in the crucifixion and had hammered those nails through his hands and his feet. And he said to them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Words of love. And when he was dead, usually what happened was they would break the legs of the people on the cross so that the weight of the body would pull down and it would suffocate them. But on this occasion, when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. But just to make sure, they drove a spear through his side and into his heart. And then they carried that dead body, eventually at the end of the time, they carried it and laid it in a tomb. And then amazingly, on the third day from there, he rose again. He walked out of his tomb, fit and well, but with the scars still in his body. An amazing incident. Well, we're fortunate enough to have some people here who are going to give testimony to what they experienced. So let me just introduce my Roman name to you. I am Corallus Butulatum, and I've been appointed by His Imperial Majesty to investigate the recent disturbances in the city of Jerusalem. So draw near and pay careful attention to the testimony of these witnesses. Couldn't we have, please, call Mary of Magdala. Mary of Magdala, I think. That's Mary.
It's already called Mary.
I'm hoping you've got the wife of Cleopas, but it's another man. And would you please state your name clearly for the court?
They call me Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene, that's the name by which you are commonly known?
Yes.
Right, now this will be an unusual experience for you, Mary. As a woman, of course, your testimony would not be respected normally in the days in which we're living. But this is an unusual time and an unusual story. So I charge you to speak carefully and honestly at all times.
I understand.
Now, according to testimonies and reports I've already received, you identify yourself as one of the disciples of the late Rabbi Jesus of Nazareth. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And a female disciple, is that usual? How do you account for that?
The master, that's Jesus, came to the place where I was living at the time. I was in a very bad state of mind. My life was a mess. But he spoke kindly to me, and it was like I was set free and born all over again. From that time, I've joined with other women who travel with the master and his male disciples. We can cook and wash clothes, and we can listen to his teaching.
Ah, so you must have known him well.
I know him well. He's alive today.
Well, that remains to be seen. Let me take you to the event at Passover recently. Do you remember much about those events that led to his death?
Well, we'd come to Jerusalem for Passover, and the men had gone with the master to the cedar and then gone on to the olive groves at Gethsemane. The master was arrested and put on trial. Sir, that's not lawful, is it?
Well, that's not really our remit. We don't have to investigate. Proceed with your testimony.
Well, they took him from place to place until Pilate finally gave in to the crowd and sentenced him to be crucified. And that's what they did. They crucified the kindest, most honest and loving person in the world. They crucified him.
Mm-hmm. And did you go to that crucifixion?
I went with his mother, an auntie, and some of the good women. I was there to the end. After about 6 hours, the officer checked on him and found him dead. But that wasn't good enough for some in the crowd, so he ordered a soldier to drive a spear deep into his side. It was clear he was already dead.
Thank you. Let's move on to the burial. Did you actually see the burial?
Yes, sir. A good man asked for the body, and they took him to his tomb. It was too late that day to prepare the body, so he was carefully wrapped in strips of cloth. The soldiers rolled a stone across the entrance and set a seal on it. We saw it all, and then we went to prepare the spices.
So, when did you go next to the tomb?
The morning after the Sabbath. Several of us women went there very early with the spices to do what needed to be done.
Right, okay. And you found it just as you had left it?
Oh, no, sir. The stone had been moved from the entrance and the soldiers had gone. I was heartbroken. I thought, who would do such a thing? We looked inside. It was empty. There were angels who spoke with us, and then Joanna and Mary, my friends, they left.
But you didn't go with them?
I waited a few minutes and was crying. You'll understand, sir, I was upset. But that was when I saw him. At first I thought he must be the gardener looking after the area. He asked me why I was crying. So I asked him if he'd taken the body away. And then, he spoke my name. Mary.
The gardener spoke your name?
No, sir. It wasn't the gardener. It was Jesus. He was standing there, alive, and as well as I can see you here today. It was Jesus. I could have screamed. He was alive.
Now, you're sure that this man that you saw was Jesus? I mean, you were in an emotional state. There were tears in your eyes. Surely you could have been mistaken.
Not when he said my name. No one said my name with so much love. I knew that voice and we talked. I saw with my own eyes and heard with my own ears. I have no doubt. He was not a ghost. He wasn't even a wounded man. He was alive.
Well, thank you, Mary. You may step down. We'll hear in a moment from another one of the witnesses who perhaps cast a bit more light on this account. But let's take a moment to sing again. This time we're going to sing an interesting hymn. Some of you will know it well. Low in the grave he lay. Now, to sing this properly, we sing the verse gently, slowly, a little quiet, okay? And then we have an up from the grave he arose, which needs to be triumphant. Now, in the years gone by, my wife used to tell me of meetings she used to go to in the Royal Albert Hall, where there were thousands and thousands of Christians on Easter Day, and they used to have a habit that they would sit to sing the first verse, but then they'd be up on their feet, ready for up from the grave he arose. Do you want to try that? No? Yes. All right, okay. So, remain seated then, and you'll get the idea of the speed of the verse and the contrast with the chorus, which is faster and lively, and we need to be on our feet. Thank you. Well, we've heard from Mary Magdalene, but of course she's a woman, and on her own her testimony would not be sufficient for most courts. So let's hear from a man, see if he can confirm what she says, or otherwise. Call John Bar Zebedee. John Bar Zebedee. Good morning. Would you please state your name quite clearly?
I am John, son of Zebedee and brother of James.
And your occupation?
I'm a fisherman by trade, but I haven't been fishing for 3 years.
Right. Well, how then have you been making your living?
Well, I haven't been working in the normal sense. I've been travelling with the rabbi, Jesus. We have been trusting in God to meet our needs.
So you are one of the disciples of Jesus bar Joseph?
Yes. My brother and I were amongst the first to be called by Jesus, to follow him and to learn from him.
I think we need a little more. When did this all start?
3 years ago.
And where? Where was this?
In Galilee, near the lake. We all grew up there.
Ah, so you would have known this Jesus before you became a disciple.
Yes, but in the early days of ministry, Jesus was very different.
Oh, in what way?
Well, rabbis teach about things that they have learned, but Jesus spoke of things he seemed to know.
Right.
Nobody ever spoke like Jesus. I could tell you about miracles I have seen and of his amazing teaching. I've even seen dead people come back from the grave. And once we had an amazing experience on a mountain when...
That's enough. We don't need your life story. Now, I understand that you were in the crowd when Jesus was crucified. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, I was. Jesus asked me to look after his mother on his behalf.
Right. Now, can we just confirm, you did actually see him die at the crucifixion?
It took hours and hours. Then at the end he said, "It is finished." Not long after, the soldiers broke the legs of two men who were also crucified that day.
Yes, yes. So that's a common practice to hasten death, I understand.
Yes, sir. But when they came to do it to Jesus, he was already dead. But just to make sure, they drove a spear deep into his side. Then the soldiers took him down from the cross. An important man called Joseph was given permission to bury him in his own tomb. So we took him there, wrapped his body in strips of cloth, put a cloth around his head, and that was how we left him.
How sure are you that he was dead at that particular time?
His body was cold and lifeless, and he had lost a lot of blood, as well as suffering the trauma of crucifixion. He was very dead, there is no doubt.
And yet, just a few days later, people were saying that he was alive again. Does that sound normal to you?
No, sir. Frankly, when I first heard of it, I couldn't believe it. It was the women at first who had gone to the tomb after the Sabbath. They came back saying that the stone covering the grave had been rolled away and the tomb was empty, apart from some angels.
The women testified. Did you actually believe the women?
No, sir, no. I went immediately to check it out. One of my friends, Peter, and I ran there as fast as we could. I got there first and saw the stone rolled away. I'm afraid that the thought of someone stealing his body was too much, and I broke down.
Inside the tomb?
No, sir, it was outside. But Peter went straight in. I heard him gasp. So I also went in.
And the tomb was empty?
No, sir. That's what was amazing. His body wasn't there. But the grave cloths were, just as he had been wrapped in them. I'd seen three men raised from the dead by Jesus before. I began there and then to believe something special had taken place.
So the last time you saw Jesus alive was before the moments of the crucifixion?
Oh, no, sir. Later that day, after I had seen the empty tomb, my fellow disciples and I were in the guest chamber where we had met for the Passover meal a few days before. We had locked the door because we were afraid the enemies of Jesus might come for us. Then suddenly, he was there in the room with us. He showed us his wounds. It was definitely him. Jesus was there, in the room, talking with us. It was the most amazing miracle.
Surely there has to be some other explanation for this.
No, sir, Jesus was dead. I saw him die. He was buried. I saw that too. Now Jesus is alive. I have seen him, spoken with him, and eaten with him. There is not the slightest doubt.
Well, thank you for your testimony. You may step down. This is quite intriguing. That seems to reinforce the testimony of Mary quite well. Where shall we go now? I think we have somebody here from Emmaus, from the village. Is there somebody here from Emmaus? Would you please take the stand? And please state your name clearly for the tribunal.
I am Mary, the wife of Cleopas from Emmaus.
Right, now, Mary, this tribunal has been arranged to investigate stories alleging that Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified, has been seen alive again. Now, you've come here from your village. I need to know, do you have any testimony that's relevant to that?
Yes, sir, I certainly do.
So, are you claiming that you have first-hand experience of meeting this alleged resurrection man?
I'm here today to testify to the most amazing experience of my life.
Well, in your own words, please.
A few days after the crucifixion, my dear husband, Cleopas, and I were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. We were both very sad because of what happened to Jesus a few days before. He was such a wonderful man, and we had thought he might be the promised Messiah. So to see him on that cross, well, it was like a knife in my heart. Well, we were talking about what had happened and trying to make sense of those who were claiming he was alive again. And as we were walking and talking, a man I didn't know started walking with us and asked what we were talking about. What were we talking about that was making us look so sad? Well, it seemed he was a stranger and hadn't heard anything about the crucifixion or about Jesus, so we told him how special Jesus was and how his death had devastated us and how the rumours of him being alive were really quite confusing. And that was when he told us off.
He told you off?
He said that if we knew the scriptures, we should not be so surprised. Then he started quoting parts of the scriptures to us. We went through the books of the law. Then he went through the books of the prophets. Book after book, he was able to show us where it spoke about how the Messiah would come, how he would live, die, and come alive again. I don't mind telling you, it was better than the best day I had ever had at the synagogue. It made me really excited, so much so that when we got to the outskirts of Emmaus, I was sorry the conversation was coming to an end.
Well, it's all very interesting. Thank you very much.
But that's not the end.
Oh.
It looked as if this stranger was going further along the road, but my husband invited him in to stay the night with us. And we went into the house and I got some refreshments ready. And that was when it happened.
It?
We invited this stranger to say the words of thanksgiving before we ate. We took bread from the table into his hands. He looked up to heaven and was giving thanks when suddenly it was as if a veil had fallen from our eyes and it was taken away. It was him. The man we had been walking and talking with, this man was Jesus.
I'm sorry, what exactly are you saying?
It was Jesus. We knew him well, so don't ask me why we didn't recognize him before. He had explained why he had to die and that he would rise again. But wonderful as his words were, when we opened our eyes to realize who had been teaching us, that was mind-blowing. But the strangest thing then happened. Right before our eyes, he disappeared. How he did that, we will never know.
Well, what did you do with this knowledge that you'd gained?
Do? There was only one thing we could do. We left the house as it was and went straight back to tell the others that it was true. A crucified and buried man was very much alive. Jesus is alive. He is.
Well, thank you for your testimony. You may step down. Now, before we hear from anybody else, we'll take a moment out of the tribunal and we'll sing. So we're going to sing, I Serve a Risen Saviour, He's in the World Today. If you don't think you know, if you do think you know it, would you wave at me? All right. Oh, quite a few do. Okay. It's got a nice lively chorus. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. And then a pause. You ask me how I know he lives. And the answer is, he lives within my heart. Let's stand, please, to sing. Please be seated. Now, just to make sure we know what we're supposed to be doing this week, Maureen is going to share the news. Our church secretary, of course, is away, and we hope that she's having a nice time down in the southwest.
Good morning. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia.
Hallelujah.
A welcome to all today, especially if you are a visitor or you're here for the first time. Our thanks to Reverend Barry Osborne and his team this morning who are leading the worship. John Stride has prepared our pew slip today. Thank you. All notices are therefore on the pew slip,
But just a reminder that the Thanksgiving service for the life of Irene Ashton will be held here this coming Thursday at 12:15. The Contact magazine is out today. Please therefore collect your own copy, and if you could also deliver another one, that would be helpful. Thank you for your generous offerings for the work of this church and that of our partner church in Targamores too. Please join us for refreshments in the Jubilee Hall at the end of this service.
Thank you, Maureen. Please, could I encourage you to take your pew sheets home with you so that it'll remind you of things that are going on, and if you're not going to them, you can certainly be praying for them. That would be helpful. And when we have coffee afterwards, that's when we'll judge anybody written anything down already? Anybody got some headlines? Oh, there's at least three. Okay, good. Good, good. So we'll do that. I'll find somebody who's trustworthy, who's not taking part in the competition to judge it. Well, I hope you've been finding this interesting. We've heard from Mary, and we've heard from John, and also from another Mary, the wife of a chap called Cleopas, claiming that they walked and talked with Jesus. Seems to be such an exciting experience that having arrived at Emmaus, they turned around and went back to Jerusalem to tell everybody back there what had happened to them. So, quite interesting. I've just got two more witnesses here today that I'd like to bring before you and for you to judge and make up your own mind as to the validity of their testimony. One of them is a man called Peter, so please call Simon Peter. Thank you. Please, would you state your name and your occupation?
Well, excuse me. I was named Simon by my parents, but I was later given the name Peter. So that is the name by which I wish to be known.
And your occupation?
Originally, I was a fisherman, working the Sea of Galilee. But now I have a far more important occupation, to tell the world about a wonderful Saviour. 3 years ago, he got into my boat. Moments later, he got into my heart.
He got into your heart? Could you explain that?
Yes. As a disciple of the Master, I have seen many miracles. The first was that day in my boat. It was late in the day, and we had fished all night unsuccessfully. The Master asked us to go out further, and then he asked us to let down our nets. The day was hot, and we knew the fish would have hidden in the depths. Letting down the nets would be pointless, but we did it just because he asked us. Moments later, we had caught more fish than I had ever seen. There were so many, we had to call another boat to come alongside to help us.
Well, so you say. Let's turn to the heart of our investigations today. Have you actually seen this so-called risen again man?
More than once. On one occasion, we actually had a repeat of that first miracle.
Well, how did that come about?
I persuaded some of my friends to join me fishing. Well, now that the Master wasn't with us, getting back to fishing suddenly seemed a sensible thing to do. But again, we fished all night and caught nothing. A man was walking on the beach. He shouted to us and suggested that we let the net down on the other side of the boat. Well, when we did so, the net became so full of fish we couldn't haul it in, just like the first time.
So a very similar experience to what you'd experienced 3 years before.
Yes. Uh-huh. John, he was a disciple of Jesus. He said, "It is the Lord." I was coming to that conclusion myself, but I put on my outer garment, jumped overboard, and half waded and half swam to the shore. It was Jesus. But there was a problem.
A problem?
Yes, well, there was a charcoal fire, and it already had some fish cooking on it. He also had bread ready.
Well, what was the problem?
A few days before, I had sat around just such a fire. It was the middle of the night on which Jesus had been arrested. He was on trial, and I'd sneaked in to join some servants around a fire. One of them said, You're one of the disciples of Jesus. I panicked, and I said, no, that wasn't true. She persisted, so I kept denying it. I even swore an oath the third time that she challenged me. Just then, the door opened, and Jesus was led out. He looked straight at me, or right into me. Immediately, I remembered how just hours before I had said that I would never deny him, never. I said that I was willing to die for him, but I had failed.
So the fire on the beach reminded you of the fire where you had denied Jesus?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But worse followed.
Oh, you better explain that, please.
Well, we just sat there in silence. The others had come from the boat with some of the fish, which we cooked and ate, but all in silence. Then Jesus invited me to walk with him. As we walked, just him and me, he asked me if I really, really loved him. In a moment, it was as if I was back in the room where we had eaten together, and I had promised my loyalty to him. I was going to say that I loved him, but the words just stuck in my throat. I just told him I was very fond of him. Then he repeated the question, so I gave the same answer. Then the third time he changed the question and asked if I was really fond of him.
Ah. So three times you had denied him, and now he asked you three times whether you loved him.
Well, not quite. The third time he asked if I was really fond of him. That hurt. It was like I was on trial. And after each time he asked me, and after each time he asked me to take care of his sheep.
What exactly did he mean by that?
Well, it was a way of trusting me again, I suppose. Trusting me to look after precious followers who would need support. I, who had failed, was being asked to support others. He then made it plain that I would face greater trials. Previously, sir, you asked me about my occupation. It's certainly not fishing. It's not exactly an occupation. It's a passion. We know that Jesus is the promised Messiah. We know that his death was paying the penalty for the sins of everyone in the world. We know he rose from his grave. Sir, if you have learned anything from this investigation, I hope it is how urgent it is for you to put your trust in him. I'm sure he longs for you to be his, for him to be your saviour too.
Well, perhaps. But I do have one more witness. Thank you. You may step down. Call Thomas the Twin. Thomas the Twin. Thank you. Would you please state your name clearly?
Thomas.
And are you that twin who was a disciple of Jesus?
I am, and I am.
I am, and I am. What do you mean by that?
You said was a disciple. I am a disciple.
If you don't mind my saying so, you seem to be something of a pedant. Is the truth important to you?
Absolutely.
And then in that case, please tell us how you felt When these stories about Jesus rising from the dead began to spread?
Well, it seemed total rubbish. I believed it was just a way to kind of cheer themselves up, the women particularly. No matter what they said, well, to me, it just felt like they were cheering themselves up. Every story they could come up with just made it seem more impossible to believe them. The more they tried, the more I kind of dug my heels in.
Ah, so at last we have someone who's honest and can help us put an end to these rumors about resurrection.
I said that it seemed like total rubbish.
And so it does. I mean, meeting a man who's walked from his own grave, perfectly fit and healthy. Well, I've heard some amazing stories in my life, but this one, really.
Exactly. That is why I just couldn't believe, no matter what people said about meeting him and talking with him, I said that I needed to touch the place in his body where he was nailed to the cross and put my hand into the side where the spear had opened him up. When I could do that, then I could believe. But that was never going to happen.
Well, at last, we seem to have a witness with common sense. Well done. Well done for taking your stand.
But then it happened. We were locked up in the guest chamber again a week after the crucifixion and the resurrection stories had started. And he was suddenly there. Suddenly, right there in the room. He looked straight at me and invited me to reach out and feel the nail prints and put my hand into his side.
And what did you do?
I fell to my knees and shouted, "My Lord and my God."
Wait a moment, isn't that blasphemous in your religion?
Oh, only if it were not true. But in that moment, I saw the same Jesus I had followed for 3 years. I had seen him die, and now I was seeing the same man alive again. But to call him a man was not enough. The man before whom I knelt was more than a man. I believed it then, and I still believe today, Jesus to be divine.
Well, you may step down. Ladies and gentlemen, we have heard 5 testimonies. You'll draw your own conclusions as to their validity. All were apparently quite intimately involved in the life of Jesus during his time of ministry in Galilee and Judea. They saw him die. They testify that there was no doubt that he was truly dead after 6 hours of dying, hanging on the cross, and with his side pierced with a spear, just to make sure. And then we've heard these testimonies of actually meeting, walking and talking with this man. Can a man rise from his own grave? Is that possible for an ordinary human being? And then we have the testimony of Thomas, who suggests to us that Jesus was not an ordinary human being. Called him his God. Now, these are strange things. There are some things in life which confuse and perplex. And we each have to make up our own minds as to what we accept as truth. I am conscious of the fact that already some of the disciples of Jesus are suffering because of their faith. They are living in terror. They are locking themselves into a room. So there is something about this which is extraordinary, that people are prepared. So convinced are they that Jesus has risen from the dead that they'll go on propagating this story wherever they can, regardless of what it might cost them. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm certainly going to think about it very, very carefully. We're going to pray now, so let's bow our heads and share in prayer. Loving God, this Easter time, we thank you for those who have told us about Jesus. We thank you for the difference he makes in our lives. We thank you for the fact that we can say, he walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. Lord, we pray that we might have the same excitement that the early Christians had, that we would be exuberant, effusive in our storytelling, that people might also put their trust in you. We thank you that because of who Jesus is and what he has done, we can come in prayer through him to you, Heavenly Father. And we bring before you now things for which we are concerned. We pray for the situation in Ukraine today. We long for an end to the conflict, the thousands of people that have already died, others living today in fear of death. We pray for the government of Ukraine. And we pray for the government of Russia, especially we pray for Mr. Putin. We pray for an end to this war. Lord, humanly it's impossible, but we've been thinking about how impossible things become possible. So we're asking you to intervene and for you to bring an end to this conflict. A just end, Lord, please. We also pray for the situation in the Middle East between the Palestinians, and particularly with those who've risen up and taken up arms. We pray for those on both sides. We pray that you will turn people's hearts away from violence and murder, and instead give them hearts of love that seek to bless others. Loving God, I want to pray that the government of Israel particularly will want to be a blessing to their Palestinian neighbors. Lord, I pray that you'll change people's hearts, that things will be different, that there will be a hopeful future. We regret again the thousands of people that have already died. We pray for comfort for those who've lost loved ones and those that have been injured. And in both theatres of war, we ask, Lord, for your peace to come and for love to be experienced and mercy to be experienced. Only you can do it. We hold before you those that we know who need your prayers and your help at this time. And in our hearts, we just quietly name them. Think of those who are missing today because of ill health, those who've been struggling over the weeks, those who've lost loved ones. We ask, Lord, in your mercy, that you will comfort all who are distressed. Lay your healing hand on all who are sick, just as you used to heal people in the past. Lord, hear our prayer, and in your mercy, heal today. We pray for the work of this church and the work of the churches in this town. We thank you for our fellowship together, for the love that's to be found, regardless of difference. We regret the loss of the opportunity of the meeting in the square on Friday, but Lord, we pray that today in all our churches there will be a sense of your presence and a moving of your Holy Spirit to draw people to yourself. We pray for those who engage in service from this church in all sorts of ways, working with mothers and toddlers, or serving in the food bank. And Lord, in all these different ways, we pray, grant your grace and your help so that we might serve people well. We thank you, Lord, that in this place there is love and friendship and fellowship. And we ask, Lord, that others might discover this too and realize where this love comes from. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we say together the words of the prayer that Jesus taught to his first disciples. It's on the screen and it's also in your pew sheets if you need them. We say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, we did announce, or Maureen did announce, that we had coffee after the meeting. I have a thing about that. I don't think of it as being coffee after the meeting. I think it's just an extension of the meeting. Okay. Now, if you don't know where to find the Jubilee Hall, you can go through either of these doors and follow the pathway through as far as you can, and you'll find the Jubilee Hall. You'll find tea and coffee and possibly something to nibble as well. Tables you can sit at and chat to friends. Okay. So please do that. Would you like to put your headlines on the table, please, as you pass? Okay. Don't forget to put your name on it, and we'll judge it and give an award. I want to say that it was Easter 1963, which is 61 years ago, that the story of Easter became real in my life. I knew it very well, but it really became very special for me. And my response on that day was to offer God my life and say whatever he wanted me to do, I'd do, and wherever he wanted me to go, I'd go. Which turns out to be your misfortune because I've ended up here. So we're going to stand and sing our last hymn, which is Thine Be the Glory. We stand to sing, please. We have a tradition here that we end our services by praying for one another in the words of a grace, where we pray for God's blessing on one another. We're used to turning round and staring at one another, no, smiling at one another. So do feel free to do that, okay? And if you want to reach out to somebody while we're saying it as well, that'd be lovely. So, and we, Jan, who can't see us, smiling at her, okay? Den, would you pat her on the shoulder for us, please? Okay? Okay. So, may the grace, Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.